the bean basis continues to widen. What should farmers do about old and new crop cash sales? We'll discuss that and more today on Commodity Week.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. This week, we'll spend the whole half hour with University of Illinois Extension ag economist Darrell Good.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, farm subsidies are back on the table on Capitol Hill. We'll look at their giant impact on trade, the economy, and what we eat. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
NPR and WBUR Boston asked WILL to carry On Point this coming Monday at no cost to the station. This program will take up the subject of the Farm Bill. We urge our listeners to tune in and call in this Monday between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Central Time for On Point on the Farm Bill from WBUR in Boston.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Darrell, let's start by talking a little bit about the USDA reports that were released Thursday morning of this week. Ending stocks and WASDE numbers were out, a crop production report that dealt a little bit with wheat. But let's go with the ending stocks. Why don't you go through the numbers for corn and soybeans for me?
Well, in the case of corn and looking at the current marketing year, 06-07, USDA did ratchet down their forecast of how much corn we will export and how much we will feed. The lower feed projection really comes directly from the June stocks report that was released on June 29th, showing that we had bigger stocks than anticipated, so that forced the USDA to lower their expectation about how fast we're feeding corn. And the export number is strictly a function of the current rate of shipments. We only have 8 weeks left in the marketing year in terms of getting the numbers, actually only 6 weeks left in the marketing year. And it's a little bit two-sided here in that corn sales are quite large, but our current rate of movement is pretty slow. So it looks like those sales will be rolled over into next year. So USDA lowered their expectation for how much will be shipped by the time we get through August. Bottom line, they did trim about 150 million bushels off of expected use this year, and that all went directly into the forecast of year-ending stocks. Now expected to be a bit over $1.1 billion. So, you know, from several months ago when we were at the peak of prices, it looked like carryover stocks would be $900 million or less, some were saying, and now it's over $1.1 million because of this slowdown in consumption. Roll that forward one more year, USDA, based on the June acreage report, increased their forecast of expected crop size. Again, emphasizing that this forecast is basically just using trend yield calculation and planted acreage numbers. So NAS will not do an objective yield estimate until next month. But because of the larger acreage, the WASDE folks bumped up their production forecast. That crop is now expected to be a bit over 12.8 billion bushels, reflecting an average yield of just a bit over 150 million. If we get that kind of crop, then USDA is forecasting that a year from now, September 1, 2008, our year-ending stocks will grow to about 1.5 billion bushels. So some modest buildup in inventory now expected. USDA is suggesting that will give us a farm average price next year in a range of $2.80 to $3.40. Jump on the midpoint there, $3.10. About the same price that we experienced this past year. Soybeans, when we look at the current crop year, USDA bumped up its forecast of both exports and domestic crush by 10 million bushels each, lowered its estimate of residual use, unexplained use, and again, that stems directly from the June stocks report. The net result is year-ending stocks are now expected to be at 600 million bushels, down just 10 million bushels from the June forecast, by any measure, a large inventory. Again, now looking at their updated forecast for 07-08, because of the smaller acreage number released at the end of June, USDA lowered its production forecast, now looking at a crop of something just over 2.6 billion bushels, and forecasting that stocks a year from now will be down to about 245 million bushels. So that's even with a fairly sharp decline in exports projected for next year. So that balance sheet, as we've known all along, is tightening up very much for the upcoming year. And that's resulted in the USDA now projecting the season's average price next year, the midpoint at $7.75, up from $6.35 expected for the year just ending.
Let's talk a little bit about the supply side and continue that conversation off these WASDE numbers. On the supply side, what is it that the marketplace is trying to effectively do in Chicago at this point? And how might that differ from what's happening in the Midwest on the cash side of the market?
Well, looking first at soybeans, because I think that's where the biggest discrepancies are right now. The market is looking at USDA's forecast, their trend yield calculation, I believe at 41.5 bushels per acre. That would be less than what we've experienced the last couple years, but that's how they calculate trend, and are trying to gauge whether we're on track for yielding at that level, watching primarily the weekly crop conditions report. And what we're seeing there is some deterioration of those crop conditions, not so much in Illinois. Crop ratings are quite high here, but on both sides of us, we're seeing crop ratings go down. So the Chicago is certainly aware of that. And now we're beginning to see some weather forecasts that suggest that July into early August could bring some really intense heat and some continued dryness in the western and northern growing areas, pinpointing primarily northern Iowa, Minnesota, South Dakota. Without widespread rainfall and increasing temperatures, I think the market is a bit concerned about whether we can even reach 41.5 bushels per acre. And if we do fall short of that, then the balance sheet gets really tight as we look at the year ahead. Meanwhile, in the cash market, we're seeing prices go up, but at a much slower rate than what we've seen in the futures market. It appears that what I call the non-traditional speculative traders are now really jumping on the soybean market. That's kind of the darling right now, and have pushed those prices, continued to contract highs, well above $9 at this point. But because of the large current inventory of soybeans, the cash price is having a tough time keeping up, and we're seeing some historically weak bases. Depending on what part of the country you're in, 60 cents to a dollar under August futures. That's kind of unprecedented for this time of year. And that carries over to the new crop. In some areas, you're seeing harvest bids as much as a dollar under November futures. Even in the central part of the state where you might expect 25 to 30 under, you're seeing bids reflecting a basis double that at this point. So the cash market is just having a hard time keeping up with the rapid run-up in futures price. Now, the interesting thing is when you look at the futures market then and compare that to what the USDA says our average price will be for next year, the futures market is currently has a price out there significantly higher than what the USDA would forecast based on its balance sheet. The other implication here, of course, is on old crop, there's really not much farmers can do to offset this weak basis. I mean, they just kind of have to swallow and take it. I guess on one hand, you can do that recognizing that prices are well above $8. So the flat price is still a good price. The highest level we've been all year, we're approaching $8.50 here in the central part of the state. But on the new crop, I think that really extremely weak basis has some very important implications for how that crop is marketed, because if you expect stocks to tighten up as we move through next year, that would suggest that the basis is going to recover quite nicely as we move through the year. And as producers make pricing decisions, they probably suggest that they need to find a home for the new crop, get it in a bin, and get it forward priced, either hedging or a hedge to arrive contract, and anticipate that the basis is going to narrow up quite strongly as we move through the year. I think at a minimum, the market in most areas is probably offering a dollar a bushel return to storing soybeans if you put them in the bin, sell July 08 futures, for example, wait for that basis to narrow up. That's going to give a real nice return to storage. If we come back to anything close to a normal basis by the spring of 2008.
So in that case, this is exactly what the marketplace is telling farmers to do, that the cash basis is really lousy, but the futures market is really pretty good, and that they need to store those beans. But it all sort of comes down to a matter of fact that total bushels in the U.S., corn and soybeans both, will be so much bigger than usual that the whole system's going to be under a lot of strain to put it all away.
Well, that's an interesting point. And we started doing the math, you know, totaling up two things. How much old crop will we have on hand when we go into harvest? And how big will the crop be of all of our fall harvested crops? And say, you know, what kind of capacity do we need to store all of that? And, you know, it does suggest that we will be, you know, 500 to 600 to 700 million bushels more than our previous record fall supply that was established in 2004. But I contend to think that we have built a lot of new storage since 2004, maybe as much as 500 million. The USDA numbers suggest that new storage was built very briskly in 2006, and I think it was again in 2007. So yes, we will really challenge our storage capacity, and like we have the last 2, 3, 4 years, we're going to have to put a lot of corn in particular in temporary facilities on the ground. The real question is, will that be any worse than it has been historically? We know 04 and 05, 06, we put a lot of corn on the ground. We've kind of become accustomed to that. So we'll have to do it again. But when you, in total, it doesn't look like the challenge will be much greater than it has been historically, but that may cover up some real regional problems in areas that have expanded corn acres more than the national average, and also are looking at well above average yields. Storage challenges are going to be pretty stringent, I think, in those areas.
We're talking to U of I Extension economist Darrell Good. More with him, and we'll take up corn in just 2 minutes.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. The second week of July was typically summer here in Illinois. Warm, humid weather gave way to cooler and less humid air at midweek. The transition brought with it some rain. There were some scattered showers and thunderstorms early in the week, but the only organized rain came on Tuesday as a strong cold front began to push through Illinois. The timing of the frontal passage favored thunderstorm development in the afternoon in northern Illinois, and a third to three-quarters of an inch of rain fell in northern Illinois as the storms rolled through. Heavier rain also fell in southwestern Illinois, where up to an inch and a half fell in the metro east area. However, the heating of the day and upper-level support began to wane as these storms moved into central Illinois. Only a little rain fell there, with many locations not getting any rain at all. Temperatures this week were near to slightly below normal. Much of the northern half of Illinois was in the low 90s on Monday, but only in the mid to upper 70s on Wednesday. The weather only gradually warmed through the rest of the week. A strong upper-level low over southern Canada will maintain northwest flow aloft into early next week. As the low slowly pulls to the northeast, the ridging will extend from the plains to the mid-Mississippi Valley, bringing warm and humid weather back to Illinois. The best chances for showers and thunderstorms will be a frontal passage about midweek, perhaps providing a half inch of rain to those areas that get it. The week will finish warm and dry. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilbert.
You're listening to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. This is WILL Urbana. Our guest this week, U of I Extension economist, Daryl Good. Daryl, before we took the break to listen to the weather segment, we were talking just a bit about storage and corn piles on the ground, and you suggested that there might be some regional problems, if not difficulties across the whole system, trying to put a crop away that's going to probably get close to $13 billion, maybe exceed $13 billion this year. So where are the regional problems likely to happen?
Well, I think right now you would have to say Illinois is a big candidate for that. We have 1.9 million more acres of corn planted than last year. And based on early July conditions, at least, the corn crop was in exceptionally good condition, 80% or more rated good to excellent. If those kind of ratings hold up, then we're going to be anticipating fairly large yields statewide. It's hard to find a large area in Illinois that's undergone a lot of stress. Now, emphasize, we haven't got the crop to harvest yet, and certainly the end of July and into August will be important in determining those yields, but it looks like certainly this state is probably at the top of the list in terms of challenging our storage capacity.
Does that mean basis levels during the fall period for corn are likely to not simply drift lower, but move dramatically lower?
I think there is that potential. I mean, if the crop really is large and we run out of permanent storage space, then I think we will see an extremely weak basis. It started out weak already. We're looking at early bids reflecting, 45 to 50 under in a lot of places in Illinois, when historically you might think, 30 cents is probably kind of an average basis. So I think we could see pretty substantial weakness in the basis in those areas, and that certainly has implications for how farmers try to manage their crop. If you have storage capacity, particularly on farm, then you want to try to avoid making those cash sales on that weak basis, get the crop put away, and look at opportunities to put a hedge on, perhaps, to capture what I think will be a pretty good recovery. I think by the spring of 08, we could pick up 60, 70 cents basis appreciation. That would be a nice return to storage.
This would be a unique year for producers, I think, and maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong, where the market really is telling them to go ahead and store both crops.
That's correct. I mean, historically, we've not had much of a carry in the soybean market, because the market basically says, there's no need to store soybeans because 6 months from now, South America is going to give us another big shot of supply. And we haven't had much of a carry in the market. And we've had relatively strong basis levels. This year, soybeans is leading the charge in terms of really encouraging storage of the crop.
Is this a function, you think, of ethanol and the need to have so many more corn acres?
Well, overall, in terms of what's going to pressure our storage capacity, it is the anticipation of a big corn crop, which in turn, the big corn crop was generated by the growing demand for ethanol. So the only reason we're planting enough acres to get a 13 billion bushel crop is because we think the ethanol demand is there.
Well, I guess in terms that you have a split between North and South America, and so not only do we have another crop coming on every 6 months, but now there's potentially a new seasonal pattern developing in the bean market where because the crop in the United States is likely to be fairly small, There's got to be a push in the futures market to get South American producers to put more beans in the ground.
Very good point. I think that's exactly right. I wonder if we're not setting up for a very unique kind of a price pattern over the next several years. That is, as we go into the fall of the year, late summer and fall, we see soybean prices high relative to corn prices in order to encourage South American producers to plant more soybeans. And the point is, they not only have to be high in relation to corn, but in absolute terms, prices need to be high enough that Brazilian farmers in particular will expand acreage. Then if they do that, then following the fall months, as U.S. producers are making decisions, then you need to see corn prices high relative to soybeans in order to encourage maximum corn acres here in the U.S., and then we play that game all over again the following summer and fall. So I think it'll be interesting to see if that kind of pattern, in fact, does unfold.
One more question on the corn before we take up maybe some of the wheat issues and global stocks as well. Yield production potential for corn, we're heading into the end of the July. It looks like an awfully good crop, but weather can still play an issue?
You know, that's really right. I mean, most people have a little model where they will plug in crop ratings and correlate that to yield. And if you use the model that we've developed, 70% of the crop rated good to excellent early July would point to an average corn yield of about 152 bushels per acre. USDA is using about 150 in their projection. Some in the private sector, I've seen yield estimates as high as 160 bushels per acre. But frankly, I think we're going to see crop ratings decline going into August. And I think we may even struggle, perhaps, eventually to get even 150 bushel yield. So it appears to me on the surface that the market built in a 13 billion bushel crop a little too early this year. And as we suffer through some late season weather dilemmas, I think you're going to see corn prices come back up, reflecting lower yield expectations.
And another reason that storing the crop probably will be an awfully good idea.
I think that's right, yes.
Let's talk about the global stocks just a bit. USDA releasing global stocks numbers out of the WASDE, or World Agricultural and Supply Demand Estimates, this past week. And they show ending stocks for wheat and corn, both jumping up pretty dramatically for corn, but pretty dramatically for the wheat as well. But ending stocks for the soybeans were down. I don't suppose this was outside of the realm of what most people were thinking, really.
No, I think that's right. And, you know, the direction of change is important, but still realize that the level of stocks on both wheat and corn are projected to be relatively low. So maybe improving somewhat in terms of giving us a little more buffer, but still remaining at relatively low levels. And conversely, the projected decline in world wheat or soybean stocks is coming from a record level of world inventory by a fairly large margin. And most of that will be the reduction that comes here in the U.S., dropping from 600 million bushels down to 240 million or so next year. So things will tighten up a bit. The big question there on soybeans, again, it kind of ties back into what is South America going to do acreage-wise this year, and will they expand enough that we continue to oversupply the market or not?
We better take up wheat as well. Up above $6 in the futures market as we went through the harvest season. That's pretty unprecedented. And global stocks are growing, as we just mentioned, in the wheat market. Is that a function of... well, it can't be a function of shortage of supply, I suppose, or maybe it is if you've got enough demand. Is that demand that's growing there because of wheat being used for ethanol as well?
No, I think, we've seen a real surge up in wheat prices that really began this spring, and it started with kind of the Easter weekend freeze of the winter wheat crop. And then that has been perpetuated, I think, by a really slow harvest of the hard red winter wheat crop because of too much rainfall in Nebraska and Oklahoma, parts of Texas. So when we saw the early July report, when we normally see 80% of the crop harvested, we were less than 60% harvested. So I think that rally we've seen has been now more tied to the development of the winter wheat crop here in the U.S. The early concerns that we had about continued drought in Australia and the drought in the Ukraine, those have moderated somewhat. Conditions are improving there. So I think the focus is right back on the U.S. And, you know, this harvest time rally based on harvest delays would suggest to a lot of folks, I think, that we may see an early peak in this market, that this may be a prime time at be looking at some marketing decisions on wheat.
Yeah, marketing decisions like sell.
Like sell. Yeah.
like sell now. Yeah. And it's just the opposite of both the corn and the soybean.
Yeah, I think short-term soybeans, you got to remain bullish, but maybe thinking in terms of an early high there as well, pre-harvest, around harvest time. Corn, depending on how much of a rally we get on weather concerns, I think there's a little more long-term potential in corn prices, based on the argument that we made just a bit earlier that shortly after harvest, corn prices have got a signal to producers you can't back off on corn acres in 2008. You've got to keep them coming.
Darrell, we appreciate you being with us today.
My pleasure, Todd.
University of Illinois Extension Ag Economist Darrell Good joining us on this July the 13th edition of Commodity Week. You have a good weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. Coming up on the next On Point, farm subsidies are back on the table on Capitol Hill. We'll look at their giant impact on trade, the economy, and what we eat. That's coming up on the next On Point from NPR.
NPR and WBUR Boston asked WILL to carry On Point this coming Monday at no cost to the station. This program will take up the subject of the Farm Bill. We urge our listeners to tune in and call in this Monday between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Central Time for On Point on the Farm Bill from WBUR in Boston.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn after corn specialists. Information on the web at agrigold.com or by contacting Regional Sales Manager Scott Williamson at 217-778-6485 for representative nearest you. And with support from ADM, using corn and oil seeds to create biofuels, agriculture's answer to diminishing fossil fuels. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.